I guess we're ready to begin. So I'm calling to order. Ta-da! Pledge allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice
for all. Roll call. I'll start from my left.
Jeffrey Side, present.
Ken Jones, present.
Juan Partlow.
John Capcar, present.
Okay. So far, we are successfully completing our duties here. I looked at the minutes, and I don't have a comment. Anybody else?
This is fine, me.
Okay, motion to accept minutes.
Motion to accept the minutes.
Ken Jones makes the motion. Second.
I second the motion.
Jeffrey seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good. I will say it took a while for my computer to download that incredible amount of information.
32 pages. Mostly pages.
With pictures.
Mr. Chairman, could I request that we move the order of the agenda talk about old business first, since Carl Cody's here and wants to update us on the current capital projects, and then we'll come back to the old business.
You mean new business? Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So we're skipping to E3.
Yeah, you had asked last month, I guess, to have Carl give us an update on some of these capital projects and how those projects are approved, and Denise, with some of the stuff she included with that Northeast part of the corridor project up there, so she'll come probably the next month. But we have Carl today, so let's turn it over to Carl. Okay, he can take it away.
Okay, Carl, let it go.
Good evening, everyone. Last time I kind of went through the process of how we manage the capital projects and how they come about in the process. You know, remember we went through the slide, you know, we do a long plan outlook and then short term and then current year. And I'm here to give you an update kind of where we are in the city with projects and go over a few of the major ones.
Okay. Oh, we're not doing the swale in front of my house.
Well, you probably know now what happens, right? I mean, with this rain, does it drain properly?
Okay. And I don't think we spoke about this last time, but in the city, there's been some reorganization within the city. Back in February, we combined the utility, stormwater, capital projects, and engineering into one division, and then a community development. It's called Construction Management Engineering. So before, there were three separate entities kind of working on capital projects. Now, they're all together. There's various people involved in that. There's engineers, project managers, coordinators, surveyors, engineering techs, development review techs, inspectors, stormwater specialists. Lots of different people doing different functions. And basically, they're all together now in one group. So all people working on capital projects are together. Some of them deal with, you know, designing. Basically, in that we do it in-house. We, you know, work on construction oversight, work with consultants. So I just wanted to mention that to you. If you weren't aware of it, there was reorganization. It's still in the works of, you know, fine-tuning exactly how that gets laid out, but these are all in one division now.
Okay.
Some of the ongoing projects and some that are recently completed, you know, we have two major roadway projects that are kind of under construction right now. We have the Palm Coast Parkway six-laning. That one here is... you know, right out here from Cypress Point to Florida Park, I'm sure everyone here has driven through it. We're adding basically a lane in each direction. We're adding an apron path in both directions. That's, the project's roughly 70% complete. We're looking to be complete end of this calendar year. Coming up, you know, we've worked on the south side, then we've worked on the north side. We're going to work in the median here, probably transition to that end of July, early August. Right now on the south side, starting next week, they're going to start putting the streetlights back up. So we'll get those in place. And on the north side, they're working on all the utility connections because we're running a new water main and we converted the old water main to reuse, so we're getting set to actually get that certification to convert that line to reuse water and they'll irrigate the reuse. So once that work is complete, they'll go in and build a roadway, start working on the median. But timetable-wise, is end of the calendar year to be complete the project. Another roadway project is Royal Palms Parkway, and that's from Belterre heading west towards US 1. The project is basically complete right now. We're doing some punch list island work out there. But it added shoulders to the roadway and added a right turn lane onto Belterre, extending from US 1 to Belterre. And we added a left and right turn lane to turn onto Rickenbacker. So it's really a safety improvement project. There are shoulders from Rimfire to US 1, so this basically went to Rimfire. We also enhanced the pedestrian crossing there to get to the trail. So we put up splash beacon, create a median in the middle for a safe haven for crossing.
Put a stamp concrete median tip, kind of like to carry through our design. And the crossing lights are really neat. They're little white LEDs. If you want to cross, you push the button and it flashes across. Just kind of gets the driver's attention so that somebody's crossing the road there. Mm-hmm.
So these are two ongoing projects looking to be completed this year. Obviously, Royal Palms almost done. Palms Coast Parkway. Wrapping up. We have some other major roadway type projects that are coming up. So, one dirty can give you some bearings. This is I-95. This is Matanzas High School. This is Old Kings Road that comes up to Forest Grove, and then Old Kings Road continues on. And this is Matanzas Woods. And then over here is Palm Harbor Parkway. So there's really three major roadway projects that just started or are going to be starting up that are going to be ongoing for the next year or so. You know, the first one we'll look at here is the I-95 interchange. And that's ongoing now. Matanzas is actually shut down for the summer, so you can't get from Bird of Paradise, basically, to here until school starts back up early August time frame. This is looking at being completed next summer, be open. This is a county-managed project. They do have a project-specific website, 800 call-in number, 24/7, that you'll get a response back very quickly. If there's any issues or any questions you have on the project, you can call in. And they have some information on the project website itself. We have a link on our city website main page, also on the county website. You can get a link to that specific website.
So that the green lines that are there, that's going to be the on and off ramps.
Right, that's the on and off ramps.
Okay. Yep. So because I live down Bird of Paradise from there, and I was wondering how how Bird of Paradise will be affected by the highway.
Right, it really shouldn't. Right now, they're building up the roadway here for these ramps to come in. There's the new pond you can see here and here for stormwater drainage. This side drains to this pond system that was built when the overpass was put in. And it's being expanded just slightly, but there's capacity in here for those improvements or anticipated. But it'll be unsignalized right now. It's just going to be a stop sign, I believe. That's what the county designed. So we are looking at creating some entry signs.
Yeah.
I don't know if Bill wants to talk about that at all, but that's a planned thing that, at our interchanges now we have entry signs, and we're looking at adding some here. Exact location to be determined. Because of the big drop-offs and the wetlands and stuff, probably not going to be inside this area within the ramps. It may be something, on the other side, possibly.
One area we were looking at is closer to Bird of Paradise. We have the city owns some land right down in here. Mm-hmm. And maybe putting a sign there to catch people coming down the bridge and before they get to the first turn there. And then the other one, we were looking at maybe putting on the far side of this little lake right in here so that either way you'll see that entrance to Palm Coast. It'll be our standard black granite sign with the white letters and the coquina and all that. So we'll probably wait until they get the project done and then we'll come in with that project.
The other roadway project should be starting up here shortly is Old Kings Road Extension. Basically, when Old Kings comes to Forest Grove and you turn right, you're going to be extending the roadway straight up to Matanzas. So that way people that are traveling to Matanzas to get an interchange aren't going down this residential road in front of the high school anymore. So this here, I believe this came in end of May. This is a county-managed project. So they will be moving forward to start here this summer on construction and be complete with construction next summer as well. So its completion coincides similar time frame in interchange.
And does it continue on above Matanzas to the regular Old Kings Road?
Yeah, there's a future phase that's under design. Right now we're like 90% complete. And you'll see the road wheel come around here and loop back to Old Kings Road. So that's in the works. It's not funded for construction yet. The design was funded, so we're working on the design and we'll continue to work with DOT. You know, both of these are all DOT-funded projects. There's very few local dollars involved in either one of those. The third project is a city project, and that's Palm Harbor Extension. Basically, it'll take Palm Harbor and realign it so it lines up directly with Matanzas, so you continue straight up onto Matanzas. Part of it's already built. If you've been to the conservatory, it's a temporary road from Old Kings Road. It comes through. It's really a driveway through a commercial lot. And then it goes to the roadway, and there's another temporary road on this end, and this road, and it just dead ends. But the middle portion was built. On either side, there were wetlands, so they didn't build it at the time. The developer of the conservatory built that piece. This project will basically build the connection on this end, and then build the connection on this end. Forest Grove will be disconnected, so people won't use this as a cut-through. Palm Harbor to Old Kings. The Old Kings Road will get disconnected from Forest Grove here as well. So everyone coming to and from the high school will go up to this intersection here, which will now be a traffic signal. And you'll be able to safely make left turns, control the traffic, and come up to Old Kings Road this way or move up to Palm Harbor. This connection will remain, so all these residents can come up here and get to the neighborhood.
So what you're saying is that the road that's right in front of the high school right now will not be there?
It will be there. It'll just become a driveway for the high school, basically.
Oh.
So I can go down Forest Grove, make a left, and get in front of the high school?
No. Nope. That connection will go away. So if you want to go to the high school, you're going to go up the Old Kings Road when this is open.
Okay.
You know, it won't be disconnected until this is open. So you're just going to go up Old Kings Road, turn on Matanzas at the traffic signal, go into the high school.
Yeah.
Or if you're still moving in the F section, hang on the butt.
Yep. Well, these F sections, they'll just help Palm Harbor get to the high school. So for most of these people, it's really travel distance, not much of a difference. This one neighborhood here, yeah, these people, whether it's not much, you know, for these people right in here, yeah, they live right close to the high school. They'd probably be walking.
We're trying to encourage people. Good.
Good.
There will be a gate there. And there's going to be emergency access, so if there's something happens at the high school, they can open it up and get used to it. But
of course.
And we told them, yeah, when there's a football game, you're not opening that gate to let everyone out onto these residential streets. Basically, it's going to turn Forest Grove back into a residential road like it was, you know, it should be before the high school was there. So, and also get rid of these dangerous curves, more direct connection to the interchange, all that traffic. So this is going to start here any day now, if they haven't already mobilized, that's a slow fence, but this will be starting up here shortly. They'll work on this intersection here over the summer, and then we're targeting the end of this calendar year to have this part of the roadway completed. So, a lot going on in the northeast corridor here.
So, Carl, on the Old Kings Extension, you know, going by that lake, little lake that's there, it's really a nice place. How close will the Old Kings Road be to that lake?
It'll be pretty close, because on this side, this is all wetlands on this side, and this conservation easement. So
yeah.
I want to say I'm guessing 25 feet or so probably to the sidewalk, because there's sidewalks on both sides. It's going to have It's four-laned. It's got a median in the middle. That's lane speed. So it'll be eight-foot sidewalk on both sides with landscape median and street lights. And there'll be pretty much, I don't know if there's, is there landscaping between the roadway and the pod?
Uh-huh.
So there's some landscaping.
Yeah, there's some entry clusters.
Okay. So it'll be pretty much open. You'll see the view of the pond as you drive, basically. It'll be
you'll drive,
maybe show them the landscape. Like how paddle
goes. Yeah.
People on the forest. Walk and take a ride. I'm going to miss the right-hand angle turn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And the drop from the speed limit from 45 to 30.
Yeah. Well, that's a big project. My gosh. Those people are not going to be happy that live in that section.
I don't know. Some way may limit the amount of traffic going through there, though.
Yeah, sure.
What it is now.
Just going to have to run it all around.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the only thing. To live there, have to go to high school.
Well, it's close.
Yeah. Gosh.
Real close. That was the best picture we've seen of that project.
My wife and I had an argument over it because I said, no, that's, she was interpreting the picture a different way than I was. So I said, luckily I had the right idea. We already had a picture.
Lake is to the south there. You can kind of see the corner of the pond on the right. But we've got clusters of trees along in there and shrubs underneath them. And of course, the medians, smaller circles of the crepe myrtles, and then we have oak trees.
Mm-hmm. These are the street lights.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it'll be done nicely.
So what's the width of that? If you're talking about four lanes with sidewalks on both sides, What is
the right of way?
100 feet, the total distance across the roadway. Is a median in the middle? Do you know that offhand? I mean, I guess that's just, I'm just wondering how much of that area there, that it's just such a nice area of wetlands and.
Looks like it's roughly 160 feet
wide. 60 feet wide, okay.
Yeah, that's from basically here to here. But right. You can see that's the median. I think that's, 22 feet, roughly. Then you got the roadway, that's 24 feet. And then you have a 4-foot side strip and an 8-foot sidewalk.
Okay, yes. Nice. And then the build-up to it.
Right, and then the build-up. You can see that's existing grade. Right. It's a low area, so it's going to be built up quite a bit. This is the part going down to the pond here on that side of the road. Mm. So you can see there's the water level of the pond here.
Okay.
So
straight on the side.
Okay. If you look at it, that's 80 feet. The water to the pond is probably 40 feet or so, 50 feet roughly from the roadway. But there'll be those clumps of trees, like Bill said, here. There'll be trees in the median.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice. Very clear.
So, Carl, I want to ask some other questions. Who owns all this property that's along the, say, from
here?
Old King? Yeah, right there.
That's,
is that all city?
County property.
And then the block is all from the school board? Is that school board track
this
right there?
This is all school
that
board, but this is all conservation easement wetlands. So,
right.
Anything happening there.
And then up north.
The county
there.
Owns some land here,
yeah.
The block here. And then the city owns, that's 250. That's that north. That's the land that Denise will talk about.
We
own quite a bit of land in here.
Right.
There's some commercial lots here.
Okay.
And there's a couple here. And then there's those residential lots. There's not a lot of developable property. It's mainly right in here where there's some commercial lots. I think.
Right. So from that area where you're talking of the commercial lots to the left of that to 95, that's all wetlands and conservation zone area?
Yeah. The city may have some trails in here. That's what she's going to get into about, we have to restore some wetlands and whatnot.
There's a lot of illegal activity going there, clearing, filling, dumping, and we're going to be cleaning it up and restoring some wetlands. And that's a project that ESA's working on.
And then down at the extension of Palm Harbor, right where you're building and the curve is in the road, we had discussed this a little bit there. There's going to be a pond on that little triangle space that you're talking about, right, Carl?
Yeah, pond here.
Bill had mentioned that. And on the other side, that's privately owned,
right? That's privately owned. Again, I think they have wetlands along the residential side of the property, so that on the front half they have some buildable property.
Is it commercially zoned?
I think it's commercially zoned. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a couple of commercial lots here. The conservatory folks own also.
Place for a gas station and a little mini shopping center.
Yeah, we need a gas station. A little controversial in the paper lately.
All right, then, what's
next?
These are just some other ongoing projects that down in some of the woods area. You know, the city's been working on this path project for the past year. We probably have another year's worth of work. They just finished going to Sesame. So that's a good accomplishment. There's going to be two separate projects in the coming year budget. One, we got some DOT funding to go from Sesame to US 1. And then the city will be doing the loop around Sesame to Citation and back to some of the woods. So that's ongoing, but we've quite a bit done so far. This project we finished this year and opened Long Creek Nature Preserve, at least the first phase of that project. If you haven't been there, that's a real nice site. That's some ongoing projects. One that's under construction right now is Holland Park. That's shut down right now. We're going through major renovations. We got a lot of the site work, grading and clearing, and drainage improvements going in right now, and some underground utility stuff. So we're looking to be done with that sometime winter time of next 2016. At least the first phase. There's some future phases that will go on here. Future phases are consist of some additional playground, splash park, sports field lighting, and some of the building improvements, the storage building, and redoing some of the existing structures out there, re-roofing, making the bathroom ADA compliant in one of the pavilions, and just some upgrades to the buildings themselves, maintenance back panels.
I remember those restrooms always had problems with vandalism. Are they going to be made vandal-proof?
As much as they can. The bathrooms themselves,
part of what we're doing. Spend weekends there watching.
Yeah.
Oh.
They will be a concrete block type building. We are building a new restroom in this first phase. That restroom building has been demolished. And the new one will be a concrete block structure instead of a little wood one. We are also putting in a loop system for putting cameras. I know we have cameras at Ralph Carter Park. There will be some cameras put in here, but part of what we're hoping, what deters vandalism that helps is having a very active park, having all the people around. With this expanded playground and the splash park, we're talking an acre and a half of recreation area for that. It's going to be a regional draw, and it's going to be quite amazing once it's complete.
Well, the splash park won't go into probably 2019, is that what we said?
Yeah, 19. Now it depends on funding, revenue stream, but we're projecting 19 probably.
And it's really going to be world class.
Will that be recycled water?
Yes, that's the other thing I was going to say. We're going from wells that were failing and had salt in them and everything else to reclaim water now. Now, we're not going to be using all reclaimed. There's some facilities we have to use potable water here, the picnic tables and the splash park,
I would imagine the splash park kids will be drinking as they...
Yeah, so that's of course, all going to be potable around those parks. And the irrigation to that thing is all drip irrigation around
the
landscaping. But
I saw one up in Savannah, and it was not a great time of the year, but it was full of kids and one or two adults.
We needed it.
I did run through a few times, but I thought the... I was trying to stay dry. Not the kids.
And then one, you know, major project we have on the boards is the community center renovation expansion. So this is an existing facility over here on Palm Coast Parkway, Clubhouse. And we are under design. I think we're like 60% done complete design. And, you know, obviously, it's a very nice site, very large, store of trees. That's been our driving force out there is, you know, to save the trees. You know, there are some trees that are in poor health that we, you know, we're working around some of those trees, taking out limited trees, and trying to expand the parking where we can. You know, there's an existing ditch on, between the church site. This is Palm Coast Parkway here, Clubhouse Drive. This is Fire Station 22. We'll be filling in the ditch and building the basketball court there. Playground that's in the back is pretty much going to stay where the playground is now. Right now, there's the grass area behind, you know, to this side. This is basically the existing community center. We'll be adding a wing on one side where the grass field area is, and then there's an open area on this side. We'll be adding expansion there. We'll actually be tearing down the middle part of the community center here, so basically this area will all be new. The bottom half will remain existing. We'll renovate it. Existing parking. By moving the basketball court out, it gives us opportunity to expand the parking. We're working around some of the existing trees by leaving grass parking in the middle and whatnot. So we're tweaking that right now. That's
still living in the community plant area there? Or the
community garden?
No, the gardens are going away. We're looking at relocating those Belterra by the trail, Lehigh Trail, and the tennis center complex. City has some additional lands there, and we're looking to create a dog park and have some other uses underneath the FPL power lines. It's actually city-owned land, but those are some of the uses we can't have in there, and that's one of them. We're looking at creating a garden site there.
Well, it's good that we're leaving the grass areas up there where the city utility trucks can park.
Yeah, up in here,
same joke.
Yeah. We will be having access to this function room. Maybe grass pavers or something where someone can back up and unload from an event that may happen here. But that's going to be the limited thing that we'd be allowing up in here.
Well, the church we're looking at later for the beautification board is just to the west of that.
Yeah. But we'll be expanding the trail system. You know, this is the St. Joe Walkway here. We'll be coming up and then continuing it along here and then going back up the Florida Park Drive. So we'll have a connection of the trail through there. So that's on the boards. Again, this is slated to happen, I think in 2 years we'd be starting construction on this. Basically, we're going to wrap up first phase of Holland Park. You know, next year, we got to save up some more revenue, and when the revenue comes in, we'll be able to start construction on that. We're projecting 2 years we can start, and it'll flow into the following year. It's roughly a year-long construction project.
I've got to say the basketball court really needed to be expanded because if you have a size 10 shoe or larger, if you stand on the baseline to try to shoot a three-point shot, staying behind a three-point shot, you're going to be out of bounds. Because the back of your shoe is going to hit the end line. That's how small that court is. Not regulated.
And then just some other projects. This is one on Palm Harbor. Just right by Long Creek, Yacht Club's on the other side over here. This is, actually, no, I think we're standing on the Yacht Club site, sorry. But this is renovating the bridge. That's one of our main programs that we have is bridge renovation. You know, obviously, a lot of the bridges were built at the same time in town. And so they get inspected by FDOT every 2 years, and they rate them and write up all the deficiencies. So we had quite a few bridges in disrepair. This was one of them. We completed this one. We have one other bridge that we'll be working on here and now, just down the St. Canal at Colorado. That's in the under design. Well, one's under construction now. We have another one. Once we complete those next two bridges, the grading of the bridges, they're in much better shape. But it is an ongoing program we have is to try to bring our bridges up to this current standard or better standard. then our other major project under construction right now is our new City Hall building over the north side of Central Park. These are some aerial views the contractor has done every couple of months. We're roughly, I don't know, 60% complete or so. It'll be the two-story office portion of the building, and then there's a one-story wing on this side, which will house, you know, your board meetings, council meetings, you know, that sort of space in here, some other conference in the back. So that's that community wing, the two-story City Hall portion.
Bill, do you get a lake view with your office?
I don't think so.
Like he's Carl. If he looks over somebody else, he will. He's in the back.
I just wonder where your status was, Miss.
Well, it was a view or a drafting table. He had to choose.
Yeah.
So he chose a drafting table.
Oh, good. Okay.
Work over pleasure.
But, the shell of the building's up. They started painting it. Windows are going in. They're almost done. They started, you know, all the interior walls are framed. The drywall's up. So they work on the site work now, doing the lime rock, getting ready to hear pavement in a couple weeks. So you'll see some landscaping occur. There's some future improvements that are future phases. You know, one's like a promenade in the front here, some fountains, and then connecting up the park to the rear of the building with a patio and maybe an event area in the back. So those are future phases. Down the road, funding becomes available. So I want to say that's my last slide I had. And, you know,
before we go off this, Charles, we're going to have a rain guard too at the back of that thing where some of the drainage of the building and the downspouts will go into this little rain guard, and it'll be treated in that rain guard, and then it'll pop off into the lake. So have a little pre-treatment, have a little demonstration area for that.
Mm-hmm.
This is looking at being a LEED certified building. We're targeting silver certification. We're borderline that now. You know, we've got a very tight budget to get some of the LEED points. You know, you got to spend extra money and upgrade some of your systems and whatnot. So we're hopeful we'll still achieve our silver certification. If not, we'll still be certified LEED.
What are some of the upgrades that would be needed from a regular building, say?
The mechanical system's a big one. There's a lot of points in your mechanical system. We do have an upgrade.
More energy efficient, more, is that what it involves?
Partly. It's not that simple, but it is a more efficient system, gets you more points based on its efficiency. We have a chiller system. Water chiller, whether that's an air-cooled or water-cooled system, affects its efficiency and how many ratings you get. Yes. We do have VAB boxes in here, not individual for every office, but some of that controllability helps. Mm.
So you're going to have the little chiller towers somewhere?
On the side of this wing, we have a mechanical yard on the side here. That will have a single system. We looked at two or one and what made more sense, what's more efficient. We'll be one big unit here. We'll have a future generator with diesel tank. It's all within a mechanical yard that's enclosed. You won't be seeing it screened.
Anything solar?
No solar.
Okay. Well, you have an electric charging station for cars.
Right. That, well, we'll have potential. We ran the piping for it now. That this is, we're hopeful it's going to be our first facility we'll build. It will go in whether it's day one or some point. We're seeking sponsorships now. We're unsuccessful. I'll come up to this point. But that's we're hopeful we'll have that in place. All the lighting is LED, interior, exterior.
Oh, good.
So that's and cost savings for the city. You know,
of course.
And the costs have come down quite a bit on LED now. Uh-huh. A few years back, you know, you have to weigh it. You know, does it make sense, not make sense? You know, and that's one thing with the road projects. You know, we're putting in LED streetlights also. Uh-huh. We're at that point now where it's like a 6-year payback. You have to pay that cost up front, the additional capital cost, but in our savings with that, you know, in 6 years, we'll break even, 6 to 7 years, we'll break
even. That's a quick payback.
Yeah. So we're definitely pushing forward on our streetlights, new streetlights to be LED. Now, to convert them, you know, depending on when they were put in, you know, there's a whole calculation, and right now we're council's direction is that new street lights are going to be LED.
Okay.
This is all LED here. So that's We're still targeting move in October, middle of October. By the end of October, our lease is up here, so we really don't have much choice. So we're on target, on schedule. We're excited. Right now, we're in budget season. You know, back in February timeframe, we did our 10-year plan. Now we're updating our 5-year plan, which really gets specific to this coming next fiscal year's budget. Mm-hmm. So once the budget gets approved by council and we outline our capital projects for next year, kind of that CIP, you know, I could come back to the board and present that CIP plan of what projects are in the works for next year and what's projected out. Maybe, September time frame. Make a presentation to you guys again at that point. Maybe I have to speak with, community center design and where we are with that. What's in the works. You have questions about any other projects you know about in the city or anything else
not
you want to see?
Not a project I know about, but I was hoping there would be a pool project and at least a 5-year plan. I'm very serious. The current situation is just borderline.
We do have some dollars in the CIP next year to, I believe, replace the pump equipment and the filtration system, I believe. I know there is some dollars in that budget to deal with that.
I wish I could be excited about that. But
it's not something you see. That's in the background, but it's in the operation.
Because
the
facility
pool
itself is wanting in so many ways. And I know there was an effort made 5 or more years ago of people trying to...
It was a partnership with the Y, the Dinko State College, the city.
And I know the Y is taking over shortly at Belterre. But we have 2 very aging aquatic facilities that are inadequate for 80,000 people on the Palm Coast. And I just don't know. I don't see any effort being made. I mean, I love all these projects and roads and such, but...
It is an aquatic center. It is on our 10-year master plan. It's an unfunded in our 10-year plan, but it's until council, one allocates funding or makes it a priority. Right now, it's just on the list.
So you say it's in the 10-year plan, it's in there, but
in there.
They look at it and they just go, oh, we'll table it for another year. Is that what happens?
Well, right now our capital project funds are very limited. We get a portion of the sales tax that the county collects. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a little over $2 million a year for all the capital projects, Holland Park, Community Center, all those projects. Streets get some dollars from the state and the sale gas tax, but most of that money goes towards resurfacing.
Okay.
So there's very few local dollars, other dollars that go towards capital projects. At one point in time, the city allocated a portion of the millage rate to capital projects. That went away years ago when the downturn in the economy came. That was taken out of the budget. So there's not a lot of money going in. A lot of these projects we get grant funding. The DOT, provides funding. We go after other grant funds to help.
So likely it would have to be a YMCA or some other organization coming in and deciding to build.
Right. It would be something that would have to go before the voters to do a referendum to bond, build a large, a bigger product center is a $15 million facility or something.
Where's the nearest aquatic center that you think is adequate?
The new one is going to be the Orman YMCA. They just made a 50-meter pool.
Uh-huh.
And wide, and new locker rooms.
Oh, I saw that in the construction. Yeah. I went down there.
And it's going to be done in a week.
And I used to swim there every week.
Yeah. And it's going to, it'll be superior.
And who is doing that?
Orman YMCA.
Orman
Flagler, whatever it's called. I'm just curious.
Yeah, we also lost some funding with the red light cameras because a lot of that went to road improvements and stuff. So we had to readjust some of our budgets because of that loss of revenue. Right, Carl?
Right, that's true.
Well, that's another difficult issue to talk to.
I'm just saying.
Maybe we could go to 80
cameras.
You said
it very nicely.
Okay. Well, that was good. That was nice to hear. That was a very nice presentation. Thank you.
It was very a very good overview of some of the major projects. I do have one question that I didn't plan to mention at the beginning. Does your group take care of the swales of the engineers?
Yes. That part of that group is the stormwater folks.
Right.
Now, we have city crews over at Public Works that actually do a lot of the swale rehab programs. So there's really two parts to it. You know, they get involved when they need to get involved in some of the programs. They do a lot of reviews of new construction, or apartments or houses being built. They'll analyze the road and examine the pipes and whatnot. And then based on calls that come in terms of the swale rehab program. So there is some involvement in that.
Someone approached me and gave me some pictures. I realize he's already sent the stuff to Mr. Landon as well. But he's very concerned about some of the waterways that are near his home, that they're not being maintained. When he notified the city, and Mr. Landon gave a very fast response to him, kind of said the same thing. He said that the city doesn't have the money to buy the equipment to clean these swales, that it takes a special equipment to do so.
You mean the waterways?
The waterways. Yeah, they're not really a swale. You're right. It's a waterway. And he's concerned that the location is, Woodston Lane and Woodhaven Drive. Woodwork Drive. And like I said, Mr. Landon responded very quick to him, but he also said the same thing that when this guy contacted the city initially, that they didn't have the money to buy the right equipment to...
Well, I think he was thinking of more of the canals. I know the canals are different than the ditches, and these look like ditches.
Okay.
And I know there is a program to maintain the ditches. It's minimal. It's either once or twice a year that they go in and do what they can, but depending on how wet they are and the accessibility, I don't know all the specifics, to be honest. But if you want to get Bill the information, we can pass it along and give you some specifics on what that program is and what they do.
And so what is his, exactly is his concern that they're overgrown and they're flooding?
His concern is that they're overgrown and that they're so overgrown that the water isn't able to flow through the ditches is one. Two, he says the attractiveness because you've got all this stuff. And then he also says that it's a breeding ground for rats and snakes and stuff like that into this high growth area.
So that they don't mow? The folks come in there and do not mow?
Because it's got water in it.
It's a wet ditch.
Right, it's a wet ditch. Because what he was told is that the dry ditches, they have the equipment to mow it.
Yeah.
Wet ditches, they requires a special piece of equipment. And both the person he spoke to here at the city, and I don't know if it's on his letters or not, but I do know that Mr. Landon, because I did see his response via email, reiterated the same thing, that the equipment that it would take to mow a wet area, we don't have the money to buy. I guess the city doesn't own. His response to me was, well, then why can't we get hire a company that comes out to do that? Because what they're saying is that in the wet area, it never gets taken care of unless they manually go in there somehow.
I had one of those in my house as well.
Yeah.
And it's just overgrown and overgrown and overgrown, and they don't maintain it.
Well, we can maybe have Don Schreger from our stormwater department come and talk about what the city's.
I feel like I need to respond to the guy. I don't know that I necessarily buy into the fact that just because it's overgrown, it restricts the water. Because water is pretty good about flowing no matter what, it seems like.
Yeah.
But I know it's probably more of an attractive thing. That. It's near his home.
There's a nicely mowed on both sides, and then
in
the middle.
Right.
But some of these other ones,
But I feel like I need to respond because he obviously approached me in good faith to give me these pictures and copies of his emails to Mr. Landon and the city and all that. So
these ditches run by houses, through houses to a canal.
Right.
Yeah, typically that's the way it works. Right. The swales go to the ditches go to the canal.
Right.
And at some point in between, they stay wet.
Yeah, and this is a wet one. I mean, that was reiterated, like I said, in Mr. Landon's email to him, that it is a wet one, and that's the reason why it requires special equipment to mow them down, I guess, versus the dry ones, which we can run through and do. So.
5 men with hand tools could do it.
That's, you know.
Where's the prison?
Yeah, right. Yeah, where's this prison?
Well, I know they use
they come by the one right by our house and get back there.
Yeah, you've seen them on Belterra, too. Those are wet, too.
Down here.
I just feel like I need to at least get back to the guy and let him know, you know, okay, we talked about it. And it was, like I said, we already got a response from Mr. Landon. So.
I'll have somebody from Stormwater here next month to speak on
that. That would be good. I even asked him if he wants to come so he can listen.
Yeah right. It's open to anybody.
It's open. So.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Carl. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay, thank you.
So it's a good,
good
overview of the major projects. Very nice. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to zoom back to old business, which is the healing of the Wounded Spirit Memorial Heroes Park update on the park's team with brief comments. Okay. While that's happening, I'll tell you that Community Band is playing on the 4th of July at the ceremony in Palm Coast.
At Heroes Park?
At Heroes Park.
Okay.
I know the conductor.
You know, Glenn.
She lives with me.
Yes.
Oh.
Mrs. Parlow.
Mrs. Parlow.
Oh, okay. He's going to be a stirring presentation.
If you'd like to play in the band, she's entertaining new people.
Not if she heard me play.
You'd be surprised. She said I can teach anyone to play.
And Glenn, in Gainesville, I lived in Gainesville formerly over here at the university. They have two huge parks that both have community pools, Eastside Park and Westside Park, and they are just unbelievable. They have 50-meter lane area that they do open up for a regular swim at times. During the regular pool hours for families, they have a 25-meter section that is open for lap swim, that is with a laned off. But they have a deep end where they had a diving area, and it's really a beautiful place, both of them are. I didn't know about the east side. Yeah. I knew West Side Park, because that's where I brought my daughter all the time. That's close to my house.
I've seen those. Are those city owned?
They're both city owned parks. Eastside, that's right. Being over in Gainesville, pass right by them. Yeah. It's in the school board area, the one. It's by all the elementary schools and middle schools.
I didn't realize that was city owned.
Really nice, nice area.
Okay, we're ready now.
Okay.
The first item on the old business was healing of the Wounded Spirit Memorial in Heroes Park. You all looked at this last month and approved it. I went to the parks team. Parks team talked about it, and I didn't think they'd really have any issue with it. It seemed to be in line with what was done with the Purple Heart. The only difference is that several of the team members thought this appeared to be a memorial to one person. And this is a large-scale monument location. We have a large scale and a small scale. The large scale is intended to deal with a large group of people, you know, a general group, rather than one person. And they felt that, you know, if the picture could be taken off or some other means of, you know, putting it on the paver, because they also said they were planning on doing pavers, as you know, for other people. But it was just, and if you read it, it's dedicated to the brave Americans. You know, it's not just a one, but it appeared that way. So
they need a more generic picture.
Yeah.
Why don't, where that picture is, just put the signatures of different military, the Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard.
Yeah, well, I asked them if they had a logo, and they really don't have a logo. They said, this is the logo, and this the woman, his mother is the one doing the fundraising, and, you know, you can kind of see. So it was kind of a sesame thing. I sent an email back and explained to them what the parts team had decided that, you know, maybe we can talk about it, how we can reconfigure it. Mm. She was very much offended and upset and, you know, thought she had full approval, which you all know when I told her at the meeting that it's not approved until it goes through the parks team. Right. So I didn't respond to her for a while. We talked about it in the house and came up with a plan that we had hoped would be a middle-of-the-road approach, is that if they would take this off here, slide the text to be here, and put this same engraving on a slate paver or something on the ground in front of it, along with all the other brick pavers. I mean, it could be a bigger one, but not just on the face of it.
Yeah.
Then it would not come off that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I called her up and explained to her, I apologized, you know, that, you know, I know this is a sensitive issue
very
for you,
sensitive.
And I know this is your project, and you're doing the...
Yeah.
Burden of the work and explained it to her, and she thought it was a great idea. So she's willing to do that.
You did good.
So
yes.
We're going to take it back to the parks team, and I'll present that change to the rest of the team, and hopefully they'll say that's fine and we can move forward.
So that'll be gone. The picture will be gone. The wording and all will be centered on the monument, and then right in the middle in the front will be that picture along on the base.
Yeah, flat. Please.
Flat all along in loving memory, and then next to it would be another paver with in loving memory of another.
And other people could do other engraved pictures as they want, you know, whatever they decide to do, you know.
Yeah.
Have you guys talked to the American Legion about helping with that?
No, I haven't. I don't know if anybody else has.
No. They have a rent near the Elks Club. They use that VFW post.
Uh-huh.
VFW, they also be
when they center it, taking out the picture and the dedication, and I totally agree. I kind of felt that when she was presenting it to us, but I was hoping that people would just accept it as a generic kind of thing. It's not really generic. It's specific to her son.
Yeah.
So when they centered that, can they increase the size of
the text?
Text, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Yes.
But I think that's a good alternative. It'll take probably be about an 8-brick size if you don't know how she wants to do that, but to be able to do that. But that would be fine. It would look nice. You can give other people an idea of what they can do to buy bricks.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
All right.
So you'll get back with us on that.
Yeah, I'll let you know what the parks team says and we can move forward.
We're moving to the beautification award application. I assume this is the church.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
made a visit and walked
me too.
Around. Saw the before pictures and the after pictures.
Yeah, we didn't have too many before. We were hoping that we would have more before. And they were actually were going to bring some to the meeting tonight. But the landscape architect that had them had a death in the family, and he had to stay out of town, so he didn't get back in time. So what I wanted to do was go through some of these photos and explain some things to you, since turn this light off again. Because I was kind of involved through the whole process. They had to get a permit. It had a phasing plan, and so I personally saw it from when it was first done. Let's see. You know, they had a lot of volunteer labor. They tried to do it themselves, and they did a lot of the hard work of getting the weeds out, the old dead plants, and then they realized they just couldn't do it. So they did a fundraising effort there at the church, and the congregation supported wholeheartedly. The landscape architect came and did a presentation and showed them nice drawings and how it could look, and they got more and more money, and they ended up They were able to hire a landscaper to do it, so they got it done right. Here's one of the before plans here. They really didn't have anything in here, and this is around the foundation of the building, and the current code calls for foundation plans, but of course this church was built, I think it was the first church in Palm Coast, so, you know, it didn't have those kind of requirements, so we have a lot of existing non-conforming situations there, so by the church doing this, they've kind of made it conforming now in a lot of respects. So it's not something they had to do, but they wanted to do. And that's the kind of projects I look for beautification recognition. That, you know, not just bringing up something, well, your plants are all died and you all put them back. Well, that's expected. You know, you're supposed to do that. And
well, it's kind of like your team said, a lot of this stuff, was maintenance issues, but
yeah.
A lot of it, like covering up the air conditioner.
Yeah, that wasn't screened before.
Right, wasn't screened before.
Of course, these shrubs are going to get taller. These are larger shrubs. They're small now.
Right, but I also felt that, you know, the effort, while it wasn't, you know, the most dramatic thing to ever see, I thought that the effort was really good, and it's a highly visible area on both sides of Palm Coast Parkway, and I think we need to encourage businesses and churches and nonprofits to do this kind of thing. I guess I'm was all in favor of giving them a beautification award.
And I was as well.
Yeah,
yeah, me too. It's much nicer. I don't know how much native planting and all of that.
They didn't do it for any native planting. However, they did do planting of plants, basically, that don't require a lot of water. And they went to a drip irrigation system.
Right, it was micro-irrigation.
Yeah, micro-irrigation.
Like here.
And so, you know, they tried to do a number of things. Obviously, the landscape guy that designed it did it, but still, it was with their work to get it started and done. And certainly that area where we showed them where they started off between there and SunTrust, where they were taking out all those weeds. That looks out there.
That's so much better than
what they had there earlier. So.
And these are some of the existing shrubs they saved that were still alive, but these are new plants.
Yeah.
So you can see they really use good quality stuff.
Yeah. And once they fill in,
they'll be up there.
And stuff, and they'll fill in nicely.
They had a problem with witch's broom out there, you know, Ken? And I told them they just need to, you know, prune that out and use bleach on the pruners, and, you know, maybe you can get that all out of there.
But sure.
That was another obstacle they had to fight.
Yep. So I give them credit for going the extra mile and doing stuff, like you say, that they weren't required to do. It'll be interesting to see how they maintain it going forward, but I certainly think it's worthwhile to encourage them by giving them a beautification award.
So the award is not that we notice your effort.
No, I would give them the actual beautification award.
This is the actual beautification.
Right.
Okay.
And with that, we'll bring them to a city council meeting and do a formal
presentation.
Give
them some publicity about it and hopefully encourage other businesses and nonprofits to do that.
A lot of good exposure.
I'll make a motion that we give them a beautification award.
John?
I'll second.
Okay. Ken made the motion to give them an award, a beautification award for St. Mark's Church and their effort to make things better. Seconded by John. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. That'd be very pleased.
Yeah, I walked by. It was very nicely done.
Okay, you got one, huh?
Yeah. And just an update on the last one, the gentleman we gave that we noticed your efforts, he was perfectly happy with that. He says that met my intent. I just wanted to have something show people that, you know, hey, the city will recognize if you do anything. And just doing something.
So. Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm guilty as anybody, because you know, walk by these places and I notice that they've done a better job or they've done some new landscaping, and yet you don't think about signing them up. But I think, you know, the more we can do that to encourage some of these people to do some of this work, the better off we are, obviously. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one.
So now we're up to a discussion of disclosure form requirements for the committee. And I, at the last meeting, I told you that the current directions indicated to me that we did not have to apply. And when I passed my form in with that comment, I got an email saying that I should fill out the form. And I replied in the email that according to the directions, we didn't have to. And in the next email that I got, showed me the
this
agreement
yeah.
that we would have to do that.
Who sent that to you?
I couldn't tell you the person, but is it? It's not Johnson anymore.
Jimmy Smith?
No. It's the new. I couldn't tell you. I think it begins with a V, but I'm not sure.
Virginia Smith is the city clerk. She used to handle the issue.
Well, it wasn't
Barbara. Was it Barbara?
It was a more official person than the clerk. I mean, than the secretary.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, I brought it up again to him, you know, and talked to him about it. And I said, you know, the way this reads, the members of the committee shall file financial disclosure as required for entities with natural resources and land development powers. And I kind of question, okay, powers. Powers, we really don't have powers. We have advisory. We can advise. But we don't have the power to do, you know, to
right.
stop a project, to, you know, mm-hmm. you know, make a requirement for anything. And I said, that to me is a little nebulous, but they said they're continuing to look at it. But they actually, up till today, the city attorney was looking at it again. But they said that, you know, since it is, this is the document that was created for this committee.
Yes.
And it does specifically say doing that.
Right.
That we probably need to do it. Just sign it this year, and they're going to review it again mm-hmm. and decide whether in the future we'll need to continue to do it or not.
I don't know about everybody else, but I thought I was the last one.
Yeah.
And when I gave that to the secretary, I went there in person only because I was in the neighborhood. And I want to avoid the cost of a stamp.
So did you sign it finally? Or?
I signed it, and I filled it out in the most general fashion. And she was ecstatic. She said, you're one of the 8 or 9 on my list that I had to get this done. And I told her that the directions were not terribly clear, and she didn't care. She just stamped, and she gave and had to make me a copy, and I threw it away, but not in her face.
Well, now that we have this up, you know, this does talk about, you know, the purpose, you know, you had asked before, you know, what are we supposed to do, you know, and these whereases are whereases, but, you know, you go to the next one and it gets more detailed as to what the objectives are. Identifying issues within the city, location, scenic beauty, natural resource conservation, aesthetic enhancements, environmental protection, other related matters, and to evaluate and consider activities, methods, projects, and programs that could be implemented within the city to address matters considered by the committee and issues studied by the committee. You can make recommendations to the Planning and Development Regulation Board with regard to comprehensive plan amendments, land development regulations, involving this area of review. So, you know, when we're going to do our landscape code revisions, you know, we'll bring that to you to get your comments on it.
We did that once before.
Yeah, we already did that.
And that was lengthy.
That was a while ago. What?
No, it didn't. Well, not time passed.
That's 2008.
That's just the other day, Bill.
Time flies when you get old.
You know? That solidifies it, and I think that pretty much covers it. And in a most general fashion, I filled it out. They were quite satisfied. So,
well, I have mine here. I'll be filling it out and sending it in.
Oh, I'm not the only one.
Shortly. Oh, no. I bought the whole thing because I was waiting for the word.
Okay. That's the word.
Okay. Got the word.
She was very nice at
the lady over
at the
there.
Potato Palace, as I call it.
So that was it for our agenda. I just wanted to mention a couple things.
Okay, items new, yes?
Is we're progressing with our landscaping for the high school.
I saw it.
We planted plants yesterday and today, and so we're moving along. So by our next meeting, we should be done with the high school landscaping. We may not be done with the median yet. We've got to get a permit from DOT for a directional board, depending on how long that takes. So, but that's moving along real nicely. I'm in jeans today. I'm sorry. I'm not dressed as normal. I had to be fine. Come to work in these kind of clothes because I had to work this morning. Then the other thing is we're having our 2015 tour to Palm Coast coming up next month. And it's part of Parks and Recreation Month, and it's going to be on the 28th, I think. It's a Saturday, or the 20th, 20th of July. It's on a Saturday. 25th, that's it. 25th. And we're going to take a bike ride starting from Linear Park, going down the trail east to the Intercoastal, down to Waterfront Park, and that'll start at 8 o'clock, and we'll try to reach Waterfront about 8:30, and then we're going to dedicate two more of the blue heron sculptures.
Oh, nice.
So it'll be kind of a neat thing if you want to ride your bikes and join us, or if you want to just meet us at the park at 8:30, it'll be kind of a neat thing. And then after the dedication, we're going to continue out onto Colbert and then travel north on Colbert to the Grand Swamp Trail and wind through the woodlands and come back up on Florida Park Drive and Poplar Park and back to the Linear Park Trailhead. So it's about a 5.9-mile bike ride.
The 25th of July, and it starts at Linear Park at 7?
We'll start at 8 o'clock.
Start at 8 o'clock.
And people say, why do you do it this time of year? It's so hot. Well, it's Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, I remember you said.
We've got to do it. But it's kind of cool, because we're in the shade of it. Most of the thing is in the shade, and it's really not that hot, especially in the morning.
Sure. And you're on a bike, and you're getting cooled off by the air.
Yeah.
Even riding slowly, that happens.
That's all I had, unless
anyone else has something. You put Tom now.
I'm sorry?
Have you let Tom Cordelio know?
Yeah, right.
Because I know you sent you the email about, had the two parents where you put in, who was wondering about a dedication.
Yeah, I sent him another email. I sent him and Arlene an email a couple weeks ago, or about a week ago, asking him, hey, when are they going to be bringing him? And I didn't hear anything. So I sent another one today saying, we need to kind of figure out when we're doing this, because I'm going to be on vacation the week before.
Yeah.
And that week I'll be here, but the week before that I won't. So we'll just have to schedule.
Did they confirm that it was their fine found as far as that date and all?
They knew the date was okay. Yeah. And the pads are already poured and ready. All we have to do is lower them in and bolt them on, and we're good to go.
Super.
So it has been a very nice piece of work there that a lot of people have commented on it. We've used it in a lot of our publications and our PR stuff and some of our annual reports, they have pictures and they always show that, so.
Good.
It's been a great thing to have.
It'd be nice if you get something in Holland Park as they redo it as well.
Yeah, it would. And there's a perfect spot for it that when you come in, there's going to be a roundabout, a circle drive, and there's a big oak tree in there.
Right.
And kind of to the back of it, but in the front, it's kind of open. We are always saying that, that would be a perfect spot for a nice sculpture or something.
Art in public place.
I had another artist approach Mr. Landon about our Arts in Public Places program, wanted to know more about it, to maybe do some artwork in the city. And I emailed her our Arts in Public Places PowerPoint that we came up with and told her about it. She was very interested in. So I told her to get with the Gardula Art Foundation. They're the ones that generally fund these things that we don't have the money to fund. But I said that we had hoped in the future that we would have, a requirement for new construction to a certain percentage, 1%, 2% to go to public art. But we really aren't there yet. So
that would be the future.
Okay. Is that it? Yes?
Yeah.
Motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
You're full of emotions today.
I know. I just kind of...
Second.
John seconds.
John seconds.
All in favor.
Yeah.
Thank you all.